supposed to breeze by as well this morning. And probably catch up at the end of the show with Popo, too, and see how we made out on form to win over the weekend. We're live at the National HBPA Convention, the Hotel Monteleone, French Quarter, New Orleans. Stay with us. Back after this.
At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action in thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and curly stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL...
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best-kept secret in racing, till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com.
Would you believe that champions weren't measured by rings, but by a crown? That the history books were written on dirt? That the greatest of all time was a horse?
He is running like a tremendous machine.
Experience the magic at this year's Belmont Stakes as we honor the 50th anniversary of Secretariat's legendary Triple Crown Triumph. Join the celebration at Belmont Park on Saturday, June 10th. Tickets on sale now at BelmontStakes.com.
SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. It's hour three. On this first day of the National HBPA Convention, Hotel Monteleone, my first stay at the Monteleone, and it is lovely. Happy to have a chance to talk to Doug Miller, and one of the really nice aspects of National HBPA, one of the initiatives that they're responsible for includes the of course, the claiming crown, and celebrating essentially, you know, horses that aren't necessarily top dollar. They might have been top dollar, but then, you know, then they fishtail around as they get older, and sometimes they, you know, find their way into the hands of somebody else, and their career gets the spurs put to it, and they resurrect. As JJ used to say, have a flashback to, you know, the kind of horse they were, and they go on with it. And you'll all recall, I think, going back to last September when I was at Kentucky Downs and Kittadan and the Mammoth upset, we had Eric Foster on, which was so much fun. And Eric has got the training farm just south of Ellis Park. And Doug Miller, a partner and one of the principals in Kittadan, and he joins us now. And Doug, thanks. Good to meet last night, and I thought it'd be fun to have you tell the story again.
Thank you. Glad to be with you today.
Talk about, you know, first of all, talk about your game, your involvement around the game.
My involvement, my father, he was in the racing business as when I was a child and teenager and early adulthood. So I've been around the business all my life as a horse enthusiast, horse lover, horse player. So Ellis Park is probably my home track. It was always convenient to go to the races at Ellis Park in the summer. I was raised on a farm.
The pea patch.
Yes, but by the time we get the crops laid by in the summertime, it was time to go to Ellis Park, and we could always take the long weekend and play the horses.
I love it. How close to Ellis did you grow up?
I live about an hour's drive from Ellis Park. I'm in southeastern Illinois, so my county borders Kentucky and Indiana on two fronts. So I could drive through Indiana to get to Henderson, or I could drive through Kentucky to get to Henderson. It was about the same distance either way I'd go.
Well, you know, it's funny because in my time in Cincinnati and northern Kentucky, being, you know, the tri-state area, but I I've got the Quad Cities on the other Illinois border, but it, a tri-state area. What town? Where are you?
My address is Junction, but the county seat.
Junction, Illinois.
Yes, Junction, Illinois. The county seat is Shawneetown, lays right on the river. So, on the Ohio River. And, yeah. And of course, the Wabash River just adjoins the Ohio right there beside our county. So, yeah, it was a short drive that I just grew up spending my summers at Ellis Park with my parents.
You can only reference Moonlight on the Wabash in conjunction with the 500. Illinois residents don't have any, can't utilize the Wabash.
Well, that's true. That's true.
it's for Indy 500 people only. How did you hook up with Eric? Talk about Kittadan and how much of a thrill this has been.
Well, one of my other partners, Bill Wargle. He and I, we've been lifelong friends and horse players. Bill's been in the horse business many years, longer than I have. I had a short stint with my father as a racehorse owner. Then about the time that my wife and I's first child was coming, our horse got claimed, and then I was out of the business for about 30 years. So Bill and I, we talked about partnering. He was friends with Eric, had known him for years from around Ellis Park. I wasn't acquainted with Eric at the time, but I had a lot of connections with him through other friends. So we decided to claim a horse, and we really thought that was going to be easy. We started in March, and it took 2 months before we could get a horse claimed. We had the money in the office. We'd drop claims. We'd get out shook on a 23-way shake. I'm sure. I just never realized that we were going to experience that type of competition on claiming a horse. I was always, years ago, a two or a three-way shake was a big shake, but the industry's changed quite a bit recently.
Well, and what's interesting about how Kittadan came your way is you took him off one of the savviest outfits when it comes to claims, the Mike Maker Barn, that has absolutely become a template for success with this kind of horse in particular, whether it's a horse that, you know, came from dirt and gets moved to the grass, or in the case of Kittadan, was, you know, he's a point of entry, so he was always going to essentially be more of a grass prospect, even though he did get some starts early in his career on the main track. But what kind of a budget did you set originally?
Well, you know, our budget was probably $30,000 and $40,000 horses, but we had a mare that we were running at Churchill, and we'd claimed her for $62,500 earlier the year before, and we were having trouble winning. So we drop her in May for $50,000, and we win. So $50,000 claiming, we win the race. Nice. 40 plus thousand purse that went to the owners, but she got claimed. So then we had the 50,000 plus the purse money sitting in the office.
000.
So we're shopping for another horse, and we noticed Kittadan's in there in May, just
for 80.
Yes, for 80,000. Well, we had
just had the money laying around.
We had the money in the office there. Had 90,000 in the office. So we all decided we'd take the chance. Looking at Kittadan, he'd been claimed for 35,000
right
at Gulfstream earlier, but he won the rush away at Turfway.
Yep.
Then, because you know the industry, you hear the concerns. You want to run your horse, but there's not a race. Or you enter in, and the race doesn't go. Only three or four horses go in the race. They don't use it. So I'm sure that they were probably wanting to run Kittadan. There it was, May. He had run in March. They were looking for a place to run the horse. So they probably decided to run him in the 80,000 optional, allowance optional claiming, to give the horse a chance to run. Good purses there at Churchill that time of year.
Yeah.
So we made the decision to drop the claim. We did. Didn't have to shake that day.
We were
the only claimant.
Unbelievable. And, I mean, this is what's amazing about this. You took this, in this particular case, it was Paradise Farms and David Staudeker. But, of course, you know, just as easily could have been the Wyckoffs. It could have been Michael Way. I mean, there's this whole group of Maker clients that are operating in this arena, 75,000 to 100,000 and or more claims, buying ready-made horses that they're not even being dangled. I mean, they're, like you say, I mean, this was a spot where they thought maybe, all right, we could drop him in, and nobody's gonna drop on him for 80, even with the rush. And it came off the rush away win, as it happens. So that came at Churchill, and you got him, and it took all of one start to get the claim back and then some.
Yes, 3 weeks later, we enter in the Audubon. We were just thrilled just to be in the Audubon race. Never had a stakes win in our life, any of us. But we thought this is a logical spot. We had to go up in 3 weeks, you know, this 30-day period, you have to go up. So there was nowhere to go up but go in the stakes race. So we did, and the rest is history. You know, we go off 40-1. We win. The horse pays $82. I talked to Paul Laduca this summer, and he took a lot of flack because he actually picked Kittadan that day. So he took a lot of jostling around, and people say, well, how come you didn't really push this horse more? But anyhow, he picked the horse that day.
Nice. That would have been on the Fox show. That would have been...
I didn't expect us to be the favorite, but yet I didn't expect us to be 40-1 either. But we're just an obscure stable, Eric Foster and Bill and I. Probably no one that just expected us to win. But if Michael Maker had still been listed as the trainer, we'd have probably been 8-1.
Yep, third choice probably, maybe, or depending on how many others that he might have had in there. And then, so that was a $200,000 pot, so there's $120,000 already. So you get back the claim, and 3 weeks later, you get the claim tag, and you've got some money in the pocket. And from here, three more stake tries, including a try on dirt, which wouldn't have been the case, except that Churchill was having the issue with the turf course, so you went
in
the American Derby should have been run on grass, but you ran him here, and he finished fourth. He ran okay.
Yes,
got beat six lengths.
I still think he could run on the dirt as well. It's just one of those days that we weren't the best. Didn't get as maybe quite the break and the trip that you would normally like. We ran him back at Ellis Park in the summer later, but, you know, we were planning on running in the Secretariat Stakes on Arlington Day at Churchill in August. Well, because of the turf issues and complications with the condition of the turf, they just totally canceled the Secretariat Stakes. So last minute, we're scrambling to look for a race to run him. He needed to be ran, hadn't run since July. So we put him in with older horses. We run fifth. We get beat about two lengths.
Two lengths and change.
Yeah. So but it was kind of a congested race, and the jockey takes the rail, and we make a winning move. But there were some other good horses that made a winning move also.
Well, it gets you to the Dueling Grounds Derby, and was there and here again. He's more or less overlooked when it comes to Kentucky Downs, and Kentucky Downs is funny. You bring a horse there, I think a mile and 5/16, and you just don't know how necessarily they're going to react. And I can't even remember what the conversation with Eric Foster about after the race about the expectation. There were a couple of parts of this. There was the distance, and there's the hill, coming down off the hill. Not every horse, some of them get a little freaked, and then the uphill stretch, and there's portions of going to Kentucky Downs that are mysterious.
Yes, it being a kind of modeled on a European type track, uphill, downhill. It's a kidney-shaped track. It's not your traditional oval track. The stretch run, is over 1,400 feet just in the stretch? So it's quite a different atmosphere. That day, we were running all the horses in that race, we had ran against them in the Audubon, a good many of them. Grand Sonata, one of Todd Pletcher's horses, and we'd beat him. But yet we were overlooked that day on by the bettors. And when we win, we pay $42 that day. So, but that was our first graded stakes win. I'm just telling you, this has been an exciting year for us in racing. We've had a lot of success with wins and seconds, racing on levels we never dreamed that we'd be at. And Kittadan has even financed our stable to add horses to our stable. So,
it's been magical. And Eric actually having a good winter at Turfway.
Yes.
We should include, before we mention, I know you got a horse in Thursday. What's today? Today Tuesday? So, Thursday. But you got named an added benefit of all of this off of the season that he had. As a claiming horse, he won three stakes.
Yes.
The Rushaway and
Audubon.
The Audubon and then the graded Dueling Grounds Derby. We should mention he is not a gelding. He is a whole horse.
Correct. He's a colt. If you look at his pedigree on his mother's side, there's a lot of royalty right there on his mother's side as well.
He's out of an AP Indy mare. This is a Flaxman Holdings product, and it's crazy that, frankly, that a potential stallion prospect could come out of this. And before we talk about what else you're doing and your other horses, what are the plans?
We were invited to the Breeders' Cup last fall. We were training for the Breeders' Cup. During training, about the time that we found out we were on the also eligible, we were horse number 15 instead of 14 to get in the Breeders' Cup. We were number 15. Our horse came up with an issue during training, and we felt we probably need to scratch him in the best interest of the horse. So we're giving him a layoff, and he's had several months of rest and relaxation, and now we're just starting to get him back in training, and we're going to try to be ready here this summer and have him ready to go again.
Outstanding. In the meantime, you talk about the expansion, and I know at least Bambarooski looking to break the maiden Thursday.
Yes, she seems promising. We've had the outside post position with her every time we claimed her, but yet we've upped her, run her maiden special weight, but we get in the 12 post position every time. And if you don't get a good break at Turfway on that mile run, it's a short distance to the curve, and the first thing you know, you're hung out on the outside, and you're just getting further behind as you go around the first turn. So she's run respectable, but the luck of the draw, we've had the outside post again this week. So, but we've had a good winter meet at Turfway. We've had five wins in December and January.
Wow.
I don't know, a couple of seconds and a third and a fourth. So, we've done pretty good at Turfway this winter.
Outstanding. This actually, this horse, this Bambarooski, happens to be an Empire Maker that was bred by Mrs. Volando, no biz like showbiz fame, and of course her late husband Tommy. But $170,000 yearling, right now 0-3. But as you mentioned, and actually, I'm just sensing. How did you acquire this filly? Because I'm just looking at the auction sale as a yearling. Saul Kuman and Bob LaPenta and Eric Johnson had bought her for the 170.
Well, they dropped her in for the tag first time out. We liked the breeding.
Snapped her up out of her first start.
Yeah, and the workouts
unbelievable.
Didn't look bad. So we dropped the claim on her and took a chance on her.
$50,000.
Yes. Yeah. I've got a 25% share.
Unbelievable. So. Very clever, because this happens to be a filly that's got residual value just by virtue of being a filly.
Yes.
With that pedigree. That's
happened to us.
Wow.
Here this past season, just because we have a filly or a mare with the breeding someone's after.
This is
with Recoded, Eric and I, after losing her in May and buying Kittadan, Eric and I, we claimed her back at Churchill.
Unbelievable.
Got a win and a couple of thirds and a stakes.
We talked about Recoded with him.
And this past fall, we had her in a allowance optional claiming, and she was claiming for $100,000 just for the mere pedigree that she has.
Well, this filly, this is unbelievable. You're just plain lucky, is what
you got that
is
right.
What the story. You're just walking around. This guy's just walking around. Doug Miller. This guy's just walking around with a horseshoe up his ass. It's there's not much doubt about this. This filly.
I'd rather be lucky as smart anyway.
Well, luck is the residue of design, as Branch Rickey famously said. But Bambaruski by Empire Maker, out of free as a bird that I know Ian Wilkes trained, who was a multiple stake winner. So for $50,000, you've got an Empire Maker filly that, I mean, it'd be nice for her to win, mm-hmm. certainly, but even if she doesn't win, she might be worth that as a broodmare. Her page being out of a multiple stake winner.
Well, as Eric Foster and I have spoken many times before, that I told him, I said, you have to be prepared whenever things go right. So that's my advice to him all the time.
Before we go, that's the advice to him. What's your advice to people that you know that have an interest in the game and want to get involved and how should they approach it?
Well, if you've got a few residual dollars you're willing to risk, you got to be a risk taker. Go stick with your friends and your acquaintances, and they'll never steer you wrong. They'll usually give you good advice. But like I said, you've got to be willing to take the risk and have some fun with this game.
Well, you're having fun, of course. You know, plucking a horse like Kittadan and Recoded, and even this filly that's running Thursday in the last at Turfway, Bambaruski.
Yes.
Joe Ramos is going to ride. You just you're obviously having great fun and great success, and what's better than that?
I've got great partners. Right now, racing's great for us right now.
I love it. Well, and Eric, you know, for those that don't remember Eric's conversation, if you go back to last September, it would have been like September 7th or 8th, something like that. It was right after Labor Day that I just gotten to Kentucky Downs that day. His story, of course, is also remarkable, where he risked everything. From he and his wife looked at each other and said, "Let's do this," and
yes.
It's unbelievable.
Quit their jobs and
yeah.
Eric was a champion barrel racer as a teenager and in his early 20s, he was a boiler maker by trade. He welded for a living.
Yeah, he was a welder. Yeah.
And making a nice living, but hated his job, and he said all he thought about was horses. And he finally saved enough money, quit his job, went into training full time.
And his wife, by his side, and they got the farm. And
I think she had another job there, and then about when the time COVID hit, she got laid off. So she just went full time with the stable, and she hasn't regretted a bit of it.
It really encouraging for hopefuls, and we're going to talk to Kelsey Danner next, actually. And Kelsey, she got her a graded stake win Saturday at Gulfstream. There's stories of that are uplifting and encouraging. There's also the flip side, where some horsemen are finding the going too tough. It's a tough game. I mean, that's the bottom
line. What's worked for us is, rather than each of us owning a $10,000 claimer on our own,
right,
we partner and get a $30,000 or $40,000 or $50,000 horse and share the expenses. It doesn't cost any more to take care of a good horse as it does a cheap horse.
Exactly, we've
benefited, and it's paid off for us by partnering.
I love it. Well, Doug Miller, continued success. Get lucky on Thursday, but that's already a foregone conclusion. You're already just plain lucky.
Thank you. Thank you.
What a
Glad
pleasure.
To be here.
Really fun. And this is This is your wife,
Leanne.
Leanne, and yeah. You're enjoying it, right?
Yes, I am.
She is. Excellent. We'll get a picture of Doug and Leanne, and I'm going to bring Kelsey Danner on here. Last half hour, I just got to explain to Tom Law where I'm. Why don't you come? You two come together, and there we go. So we can let everybody see Doug and Leanne. There we go. You got it. Outstanding. Although I may put up a picture of Kittadan instead.
Yeah.
Is that ours? or both.
He's much better looking specimen than I am.
Actually, I'll see. You know what? I may even have a picture of him, you know, in that Kentucky Downs winner circle and with the guitar. All right. I might call on you for that.